Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text today is taken from our Old Testament lesson from Isaiah chapter 50 as well as from Mark chapter 9. Simon says, you may recall that game as a child. I couldn't tell you the first time I probably played that game. It's probably at school, probably taught by a teacher. You remember Simon Says, it's one of those things, you have those special instructions, Simon says something, and then the whole goal of this is to be the last person standing. So if you didn't say Simon Says, well, then you weren't following the instructions. So we could practice this by saying, Simon Says, say amen. Okay, good, all right. Next instruction, all right, time to go. Good, you're listening there. I was wondering if there might be one person. I didn't say Simon Says, so you can't do that. I've had a lot of fun with that over the years, doing that in chapel services and even with youth groups and stuff like that. But again, the whole point of all of this is that, you know, the person who does the best is the one who listens the best. And I suspect that's why it was a game that teachers taught back in the day, so that way that their students would be more inclined to pay attention in class and listen. Well, so it is with our Old Testament lesson, listening and paying attention. Okay, those are the keys. Then what would you have done with all of that? Okay, well, that's what we're going to be looking at with our gospel reading for today as well, kind of tying the two together. First of all, let's start off with our Old Testament lesson. Okay? The Lord God has given me the tongue of those who are taught, that I may know how to sustain with a word him who is weary. Morning by morning he awakens. He awakens my ear as those who are taught. Well, every morning, the Lord God opens my ear as one who is taught. What Isaiah is saying here is that he's the one who was paying attention in class, okay? He's the one who was there, listening to his teacher, following all the instructions. He would have been the one who would have won, Simon says. He followed along closely. He became as one who was taught. And so what did he do with all of that? Well, as you go throughout the lesson there, namely, he was not rebellious. What that means is that Isaiah did not depart from God's word. He followed God's teachings. He kept the commandments. Kept them so much so that, well, because he was following the Lord and listening to all those instructions, he was persecuted. He turned his back to the people, not intentionally so, but he did it so that they would hit his back instead of his front. They would go up to him and yank out his beard, grab him by the beard and just yank it out of his face, the hairs out of his face. They would spit on him. And this all from the people that he was teaching and preaching to, his fellow Israelites. Yet despite all of this, Isaiah stood up to the people because the Lord had his back. He said, "Behold, the Lord God helps me." Well, as one who was taught by the Lord, Isaiah was calling out to the people. He was saying to them, "Who among you fears the Lord and obeys the voice of his servant? Let him who walks in darkness and has no light trust in the name of the Lord and rely on his God." Let him who walks in darkness trust in his God and rely on his name. That's what he wanted the people to do. How important that is, to trust in the Lord. I want you to hold on for that for a moment. Just now we're going to go take a look at our gospel lesson. Now, Jesus had just been up on the mountain with Peter, James, and John. That's when he had been transfigured. Now, they're coming down the mountain there. He told them, don't tell anybody about all that, what had happened there. You know, that's where he became blazing white and his clothes were like lightning in that color. So he's coming down the mountain now and is like, well, we need to find the rest of the guys, the rest of the disciples. Well, that turned out to be very easy. Because when they got down there, his disciples were arguing with the scribes, and there's a big crowd around them. So Jesus walks up to them and is like, well, hey, what's going on, guys? Well, his father comes up to him in the crowd and goes, well, I brought my boy, Jesus, to have you heal him. He's mute, and he doesn't speak, and he gets rigid, and he falls down, and this kind of thing. And I brought him to your disciples to have him heal him, but they couldn't do it. And it's kind of puzzling there, right? Disciples couldn't do it. And so he said, well, I brought him to you to see if you are able to help. You know, if you can, have compassion on us. This is one of my favorite responses that Jesus has to somebody who comes up with a request to him. Jesus replies, "If I can, all that matters, what? The one who believes all things are possible." That's what he wants him to do. And the father replies immediately back. He goes, I believe. Help my unbelief. What did Isaiah say about the people? The people were living in what? Darkness. There is no light. And what did Jesus say of himself? He is the light of the world. The light has come into the darkness, and the darkness has not understood it. That's because of unbelief. You see, God's word sheds light into a person's soul. Jesus brings that light. And just like Isaiah said, trust in the name of the Lord and rely on his God. So Jesus says, all things are possible for the one who believes. Yet the father says to Jesus, I believe, help my unbelief. Well, we can fall into that category as well. We believe, but yet at the same time, we have doubts. Well, those doubts you might call might be a little bit of lack of faith. When the disciples could do nothing, Jesus lamented, oh, faithless generation. We fall into that category as well because we see the events that happen around us, like the reminder we had this past week of 9/11. Or perhaps it's something else in the news, the hurricanes, the rain. Maybe something's tragic's happened in your life and it hits you to the core. And it creates doubts in your mind. And those doubts start to lead you away from the Lord, right, seemingly into the darkness. Well, Jesus rebukes the unclean spirit out of the boy. And what did the disciples do in turn? Privately, they came up to Jesus. It's like, hey, Jesus, how come we couldn't do that? I mean, how come we couldn't do it and you did? How did Jesus reply? This kind cannot be driven out by anything but prayer. When the events in your life start leaving you feeling like you're in the dark, you need to go to the Lord in prayer. It's just like Isaiah said, let him who walks in darkness and has no light trust in the name of the Lord and rely on his God. Darkness does not necessarily mean you have no faith. Let me repeat that. Darkness does not mean necessarily that you have no faith. The darkness just means that the light is hidden from your eyes. You see, that's Satan's doing there. He wants to blind the mind of unbelievers so that they don't see the light of the gospel. So when those events start happening there, those doubts are kind of like putting your hands over your eyes and you can't see everything. That's where, in those dark moments then, you need to turn to the Lord. Turn to the one who's going to provide that light. You need to swat those doubts away and rely on the Lord your God. Because if you do that, well, those doubts, in the meantime, are causing you to think that God has no compassion on you, that God doesn't care for you. You're starting to feel like, I'm all alone. And how does Jesus respond to that? If I can, are you serious? You don't think I have compassion for you? We need to step back at moments like that when we have those kinds of doubts, thinking that God doesn't care about me. How did God show his compassion for you and me? Well, Jesus went to the cross. How does God show that he really cares for you and me? Jesus died on that cross. How do we know that God will do what he says, what he means? Well, as Jesus rose from the grave alive, so too he will raise us from the dead as well. It's impossible for you and me to do that, but nothing is impossible with God. So we go back to what Jesus said to the Father. If I can, all things are possible for the one who believes. So what do you have to say? You can say, I believe. I believe I need to go to the Lord in prayer. You see, that's what we need to do, because all too often, how often do we find ourselves relying on ourselves, thinking that we're the ones who can get us out of that situation, and we go there first and nothing happens? Shouldn't come as any surprise to us. We need to go to the Lord first in all things. We need to pray, pray, and pray. You see, when we pray, praying is a sign of trust. Praying is a sign of relying on the Lord your God. So when things start to get a little darker in your life, turn to the light. Turn to Jesus, and he will not just put a little light on the subject. Rather, he will flood your life with his light. So we need to have the faith of a child, and just trust. Simon says, pay attention to Isaiah. Rely on the Lord your God always. And listen to Jesus too. All things are possible for the one who believes through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.